We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Mark Jobe shares a message titled, Dying to the Flesh Through Relationship with Jesus. Mark Jobe is the campus pastor for the Gateway South Lake campus. Let's listen in.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Mark. I'm real excited to be sharing with you again today. The last time we talked, we took the thought of the enemies, the threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And with this thought, what if we took the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and laid all six together? How could the Father help us overcome the world? And how could the Son help us deal with the flesh? And how could the Holy Spirit help us deal with the devil? And so today, we're going to be talking about how your relationship with Jesus can help you deal with your flesh. So the first thing I want us to do is let's define the flesh. So when I'm talking about the flesh, I'm not talking about your skin, your tissue, your muscles. I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about your earthly nature. I'm talking about the screen inside of all of us by which we see and we hear and we experience, where everything's filtered. And so the Bible gives us a couple of examples or a couple of terms I want to use today of defining the flesh. For instance, in Romans 6, the Bible talks about our old man. Again, in Romans 6, it talks about the body of sin. You see, our flesh has been, it's that fallen nature in us. It's that pre-Christ filter inside of us. Our flesh is called not only the body of sin. In Romans 7, it's called sin that dwells in me. So we have this propensity to sin. I mean, left alone, we're gonna choose the wrong thing. That's why children, before they're born again, you don't have to teach them how to do wrong. You've got to try to train them how to do right. It's just part of us. And then again, in Romans 7, it's called the body of death. So our flesh is defined as all these negative things. But in Romans 6:6, Paul says our old man was crucified with Christ. Now, there's a reality that sets in me right there that says, okay, so my flesh is dead. My old man is dead. Therefore, I must really believe in the resurrection because this old man keeps coming back to life. How do I deal with the flesh? Well, that's the question. I believe there's some things Jesus did that'll help us today to deal with our flesh. Let's go back to that thought of crucified with Christ for a minute. If we've been crucified with Christ, then that means we've identified with his cross, with the cross of Christ in a personal way. This is where we gave our life to Jesus. This is where we received salvation, forgiveness of sin. This is where the Holy Spirit came and indwelled us. And according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, we've become a new man. It says there, if anyone is in Christ, we've become a new creation, a new man, a new self. The old has passed away. All things become new. That's a great spiritual foundation for us as we deal with old man versus new man. Because this new nature, or this new man now, is in conflict with the old man, with the flesh. Because the new man is on the side of the Holy Spirit. And the old man is still that unregenerated part of us. I want to say it this way. We've been crucified with Christ, but yet that old man was really trained. Now, I came to Christ at 16, but it's amazing how trained that selfish nature was. I'm going to go on a little bit further. Also there in Romans 6:6, after it says our old man was crucified with him, it goes on to say, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. That phrase, brought to nothing, is super important. It didn't say that it was brought to nothing immediately. This whole phrase, brought to nothing, sounds like a progression. It's a great downward progression where the body of sin loses its power over time so that we no longer are enslaved to sin. That's what it says, Romans 6:6. But I want to suggest to you that it's through a relationship with Jesus that this body of sin is brought to nothing. You see, what Paul's describing here is the body of sin is another definition for our flesh. You see, the thing that I love about Paul was so honest about the warfare going on inside of him. That's why in Romans 7, he calls it the sin that dwells in me. How many of us as a Christian would get up and say, well, I've got this sin that dwells in me. You know, I feel like I got this body of sin inside of me. We don't talk like that. We cover it up and say, man, I've been saved. Everything's great. And then we get alone and it's not. So Paul describes this conflict in Romans chapter 7. Here's what he says. He says, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, and that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. He's talking about this battle going on the inside. I want to say it's between the new man and the old man. I want to say it's between the flesh and the spirit. Paul goes on to say, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, in my flesh. So we know as he's talking here about the sin that dwells inside of him, he labels it my flesh. That's Romans 7, if you want to read it later. You just read the whole chapter, Romans 7. Then in Romans 7, 22, it says, I delight, this is Paul talking again, I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. So this goes back to that whole phrase, the sin that dwells within me. Here he calls it the sin that dwells in my members. Then he says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We know Jesus is the one who delivers us. But as we bring this down and think about this today and get it in touchable terms and action points, that kind of thing, I'm saying to you, it's through our daily relationship with Jesus that you begin to see the death of the old man, the death of the flesh, and the life of the spirit. But right now, we have to say there's a war going on the inside of many of us. You see, you cannot win the war without if you're losing the war within. If we're not winning the war of our flesh, then we're not going to win the war against the enemy, against the world, against the devil. We've got to begin to win this war on the inside of us. We can't let our old man, the old flesh, the body of death, we can't let that be our Lord. We can't. I remember a story about an old man who was saved. He was an old Indian chief who gave his heart to Christ. And the pastor that led him to Christ asked him, how are you doing? And here's how he described it. He said, there's a war going on inside of me between a black dog and a white dog. And the pastor asked him, well, which one's winning? And the Indian man said, the one I feed the most. How true that is. I said earlier that our flesh is like a screen on the inside of us. It's like a filter. It basically is taking in everything you see and everything you hear and everything you experience. And if you're filling that filter with lustful thinking, you're filling that filter with hate and anger or revenge, then your old man's going to come alive. You just fed him and you're going to see resurrection. But as you think about the flesh, I wish I could just say, well, it's just not an entity. You know, I've given my life to Christ. My flesh is dead. Everything's going great. But what I keep seeing is there are areas of my life. It's like I picture it like this sometimes, like I'm trying to hold a beach ball under the water. And if I lose a grip on that beach ball, it's coming back up. And so what I've learned to do is just let it come up. Just say, okay, Lord, this is what is coming up in my heart today. This is what's coming up in my mind today. Will you help me deal with this? And I'll focus on it. And it's different than just shoving it down, saying, I've got to keep this under the water. I got to keep this under the water until I can change it. The only way to change it is to bring it up. So we try to define the flesh, but let me go a little further. What does the flesh really look like when, let's say, we didn't try to hold it down. We just let it go. What would it look like? I tell you, it's pretty scary. Galatians 5, 19 through 21 tells us what it would look like. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like this. So if it's not on this list, anything in these categories is basically the works of the flesh. This is what the flesh will do unchanged. This is what the flesh would do if we just let it run rampant. The flesh tries to rule us. I noticed in this passage four different mentions of sexual bondage. Sexual bondage is such a major temptation today for men. It's just rampant in our nation. You know, pornography, several billion-dollar industry, just makes you want to throw up. But why? Because those are lifestyles lived from the flesh. You see, flesh is basically selfish. The flesh tries to rule you through selfishness, through power. It tries to rule you through struggles like alcohol addiction, broken relationships, inner struggles with identity. The flesh always tries to rule you through these things. The flesh will desire to break every command of God. And it's one of these thoughts of, why do I have to have that living inside of me? What is going on inside of me to where these things, if the world were to connect with this inside of me, it would be disastrous. Well, left unchecked, these things will destroy our life. But Jesus came to show us how we can deal with our flesh. Because what happens when we live in the flesh is horrible. Let me just ask you this. What would happen if you just lived absolutely after your flesh? What's the scripture say would happen to us? Well, one of the first things it says, if we live a life according to the flesh, it says we cannot please God. So we could never be pleasing to God if we're living out of selfishness. Let me read it to you. Romans chapter 8. So if you'll think a minute, I just went Romans 6, Romans 7, now we're Romans 8. I just encourage you to read all the way through them first chance you get. Romans 8, 5 says, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want my life filled with life and peace. So I've got to make a decision what I'm going to set my mind on. But I've learned if I don't go back further than that, then I'm going to have a struggle with what I set my mind on. If I could change me, then these issues would be easy. But I'm submitting to you today that through a relationship with Jesus, He can change you. He can change me. And we can set our mind on the things of the Spirit. We can live a life of peace. Scripture goes on here to say, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So not only is our flesh not pleasing to God, it is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. And then this last verse says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Cannot please God. I want to be pleasing to God. How about you? I want to walk in peace. I want my life full of life. I want my day full of life. So let's just say in the morning you set your mind on the things of God, and you have your quiet time, and you're doing pretty good, and then you go on to work, and you're there, and a couple things happen in one of the meetings, and you know somebody says something to you that just gets all over you. Where are you going to draw the strength from to again set your mind on things above? So it's not just about all of the sexual thoughts that we read a moment ago. There are other things there that just basically, if it's selfishness, then it's your flesh. If it's selfish, then it's your flesh. That's what it looks like. And so strife, jealousy, all those things, those come from your flesh. Divisions, you know, saying to someone, you know what? You just go your way and I'm going to go my way. Reconciliation is a biblical concept. The flesh is division, dissension, all of those kinds of things. And it's really easy to get angry and then to let that grow. And all of a sudden, there's a wedge between you and people at work. There's a wedge between you and your family because you let it grow. So what I'm saying to you is set your mind on things above. And then again, if you have to, about 10 a.m., set your mind on things above again. And then at noon, set your mind on things above again. Have some praise breaks at church. I mean, at work, have some praise breaks along the day where you pull away and you say, Lord, I'm just giving everything back to you. So I was asking the question, what happens when you live by the flesh? So the first passage says we can't please God. Listen to what this second passage says, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if we live according to the flesh, we will die. I'm telling you that if we give in to the desires of the flesh and live a lifestyle headed that way, it's going to cost us our life. Then the scripture says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Listen, the flesh has a mind of its own. That's why John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of the life is not from the Father, but it's of the world. It starts off by saying the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Your flesh has a mind of its own. It has desires. That word lust just means desires. Unholy appetites, desires. Those desires can, if they're desires of the flesh, then they're going to go toward that list I read you a moment ago. If you can allow the desires inside of you to go after God, it changes your entire future, entire life. Because you see, unholy appetites produce something inside of us. They produce cravings. Unholy appetites gone unchecked produce cravings. I'm talking about the same type of cravings that some would call compulsive addictive behavior. It's kind of like eating sugar. The more you eat, the more you want, right? Because your flesh is a responder. Whatever you feed it, whatever you fill it with, that's how it's going to respond. So whatever fuels you controls you. That's why pornography is so dangerous. It creates an appetite where you have to sin to fulfill it. That's why James 1, 14 and 15 says this: each one's tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires. That own desires, that could be translated your own flesh. When you're drawn away by your own flesh and enticed, then when desires have conceived, it brings birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. That's why I'm saying to you, your flesh, left unchecked, will destroy your life. So the question is, how do you defeat your flesh? Well, 98 times in the New Testament, we're told to defeat the flesh, we have to die. Isn't that interesting? Satan wants us dead, and God wants us dead. Satan wants us dead, dead. God wants us dead so we can live. But interesting enough that the only way to deal with your flesh is to die. You see, you can resist temptations of the world. You can cast out the devil, but you have to die to the flesh. You can't cast out your flesh. You can't ignore your flesh. You can't act like you're different than anyone else and you don't have to deal with your flesh. You do have to deal with your flesh. But the scripture says the way you deal with it is you die. Galatians 2:20 says it this way: I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice the scripture doesn't say the life which I now live in the flesh is driven by the flesh. I don't surrender to the flesh. I don't let the flesh call my shots, but I'm crucified with Christ. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's relationship with the Son of God. Interesting, this passage ties dealing with the flesh to faith with the Son of God, faith with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus will help you kill the flesh. It's the number one thing that he showed us how to do. His example of how he died to flesh is our example how to die. Luke 9:23 says this: and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. It's the way we follow Jesus. It's all in. If we're not all in, we're going to see compromise in our life, and compromise is going to weaken us, and that weakness is going to drag us right back into sin. He says here, if anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. That's dying daily, dying daily. Galatians 5:24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I love the fact that it says we belong to Jesus Christ. We've given our life to Jesus, and we've crucified the flesh through that relationship. Romans 6:1-4, it says, what shall we say then? If we continue in sin, that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism unto death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. There are so many things I could say about this passage, but I just want to say one thing. The Bible says we've all fallen short. We've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the glory of the Father. You see, God's trying to get the glory back in us. He's trying to get his manifest presence back in us. He's trying to so infuse the spirit of this new life inside of us that the flesh and the body of death no longer has any power over us. But we've got to recognize today that the way to deal with the flesh is to kill it. One more passage. 1 Thessalonians 15:31 says, I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, Paul said, I die every day. I die every day. I said this a moment ago. I want to say it again. You can resist the temptation of the world. You can cast out the devil, but you have to die to the flesh. Jesus gave us the best example of how to die to the flesh. The story there in Luke 4, where Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, it says that, this is Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted of the devil. It says he ate nothing in those days. And when those days were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The fact that he was hungry, you know, even his own earthly flesh, I'm talking about his natural appetites, were hungry. But the interesting thing about this, there were three things here that Jesus did. There are three things here that stood out to me that are the top three things that help us overcome our flesh, die to the flesh. First one was, says he returned from the Jordan. He'd just been baptized. Baptism is super important in the cutting away of our flesh. Let me read it to you. Colossians 2:11 says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision, not made without hands, by the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, but by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Baptism is called a spiritual circumcision. It's the cutting away of the flesh. Now, I don't have to go into detail about that, guys. Come on. Baptism is super important. If you were baptized as a child and you gave your heart to Christ later in life and you thought, "I got baptized as a kid. It's just an act of obedience. It's no big deal." Can I tell you, it is a big deal. And it's a big deal that when you go in the water, you know, you're saying, "God, I'm asking you to cut off the old out of my life and let me walk in a new revelation, a new reality, a new relationship with you. I want my flesh dead." Baptism, that's where Jesus came from. It was at his baptism. Remember, we talked about it. The Father secured his identity. "You're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Baptism does so much. But the second thing here, I read to you a moment ago, during this temptation of the devil, it says Jesus, talking back about Luke 4, it says he ate nothing for 40 days. In those days, he ate nothing. That's fasting. Fasting is another way for us to deal with our flesh. I'm not talking about just missing a few meals every now and then. I'm talking about a heart set on God. You see, when your flesh gets strong, or when my flesh gets strong, fasting helps to put it under submission. I can tell when my flesh is in too much control because I can't control my diet. Now, let's talk about it a minute, guys. Come on. If our physical flesh is out of control, much of the time our spiritual flesh is out of control. And fasting helps us to put our flesh back under submission and let our spirit live like it needs to. It helps me to flip them over again. Because when your flesh gets too strong, fasting puts it under submission. It brings your spirit back to the throne. So, you know, another way to kill the flesh is don't feed it. I mean, physically, if you want to die, just stop eating. And I'm going to tell you something. You want your flesh to die, stop feeding it. Stop feeding it. When Jesus overcame the enemy, it was after he fasted. Joel 2:12 says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning." And that's really what I'm saying. Let's turn our hearts totally to the Lord. And let's take a few days where we say, "God, nothing in my life is worth more than Jesus as Lord. My flesh is not going to be God. My flesh is not going to be God." And then the last one that he dealt with there, if you'll remember, he spoke to the enemy. He said, "It is written." So he's basically talking about Scripture. He's quoting Scripture. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You see, the word is called a two-edged sword for a reason. Why? Well, one reason, swords are used for war. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit." Two-edged sword. Why is there a division between soul and spirit? Let me read on and I'll go back. It says, "Division between soul and spirit and of the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." When the word of God is able to cut deep into us, it separates the soul from the spirit. Why do we need to separate the soul from the spirit? I believe it's because our flesh rests in the regions of our soul. The sword not only separates the soul from the spirit, the sword also kills some things. The sword not only kills, but it also gives life. So here's what I'm saying to you. The sword of the spirit will kill the flesh, but the sword of the spirit will also give life to the spirit man. There's an interesting passage in 2 Corinthians 3 Every time I've read this is 2 Corinthians 3:6. Every time I've read this in the last almost 40 years, it's been used to define this is what a church is like when all they do is preach the word and they never invite the Holy Spirit. The scripture says, for the letter killeth, the word kills, but the spirit gives life. And that's the only way that I've ever heard that scripture defined. As I was studying this, this is the word that just kept coming to me. The word of God's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the very word of God. How can the word be negative and kill churches? How can the word be negative and kill people? I'm suggesting to you that the thing the word kills is the flesh. We need to let the word of God separate our soul and kill our flesh. Nothing kills the flesh like meditating on the word. The same word that gives life to the spirit kills the flesh. A couple of years ago, I spent some extended time with the Lord. I was rereading the New Testament. And the more I read, the more I was aware of the presence of God. And one day, His presence was so strong that I had to stop what I was doing and just soak it in. It was like He was standing right there. And all I could do was surrender my heart over and over again. When His presence comes on you like that, the last thing you want to do is sin. And I got to thinking, Lord, I want more of Your presence on my life. I want Your presence and I want Your word to go deep inside of me. I can't live. I refuse to live without Your word and without Your presence. I want to ask you something today. Have you been baptized? I mean, since you really understood it, have you been baptized? I challenge you to do it. Have you really fasted to get your spiritual priorities reset? If you haven't, I want to challenge you to do it. And what about the time you spend in the Word? What's that look like? Will you let it cut between your soul and your spirit? Will you get in the Word and let it soak into you so it can have that byproduct of killing your flesh and giving life to your spirit? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask You today, would You kill our flesh? Lord, we submit our lives to You. We want to walk with You every day, and we're so tired of our flesh calling the shots. So today, Lord, we recommit our lives to You to be baptized, to fast, to pray, to get in Your word, and let Your word get in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. Registration for Men's Summit 2020 is now open. To register, visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.